Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you that we can gather. We thank you for your word. We thank you that you desire that we have that close relationship with you and that we pray to you, and you are always receptive to prayer at any time, any place. So we thank you for meeting us here this morning, and we know wherever we are, we draw near to you, you always draw to us. So we are determining how close we are to you by to what extent we want to draw near to you. So help us, Lord, as we look at your word again this morning and take these Proverbs, we had 29 of them, I think, today, help us not just to have them all jumbled together totally. That's kind of what it is if we try to cover 29 in 10, 20 minutes. But nevertheless, there will be some of those that stand out and really meet us where we need to be met and convict us where we need to be convicted and give us assurance where we need assurances as well. So guide us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, Proverbs 19 is I'll call it a fool's proverb and a poor proverbs. So before you get too carried away, P-O-O-R, poor, is mentioned in five verses in today's proverb, and we see that God has a real heart for the poor. And so it reminds us in these areas, for example, how do we look at the poor? And we know how the world looks at them generally. The world shuns them, and the rich get the best attorneys and so forth and all. But God has great love for the poor. And then the word fool or foolish is given five times as well. So it's not necessarily, we got one proverb that's got them both in the same verse, but usually we're talking about, we're not relating poor to foolish, because the foolish is related to knowledge and wisdom and belief in God, and the poor is kind of independent of that. That's more of a financial thing, of course, as we know. But verse 1 says, better is the poor. So we'll run into that again in verse 4, 7, 17, and 22. But better is the poor who walks in his integrity than anything else. But it says, than one who is perverse in his lips and is a fool. Well, that is a very obvious proverb. I don't think you could argue with that one, right? But again, we have there the fool mentioned, and we have the word poor mentioned. And I don't want to make too big a deal out of that, because we got 29 of them, and they all have their own message, not just all keyed to one word. But I did pick a song that's got the word poor in it. I had trouble finding anything that's got fool in it. So we'll sing a song that has poor in it at the end. Verse 2. And it is not good for a soul to be without knowledge. And he sins who hastens with his feet. Well, we want to be learning what the Lord has for us to learn from the inside out, not necessarily from the outside in, and that would be our soul. We want a soul to be knowledgeable, not without knowledge. And then if we are quick on the trigger, so to speak, very quick, we pride ourselves, I can make decisions very fast. I mean, for years I prided myself on that. And I don't know how many wrong I made, but probably it was more than 50% weren't the right decisions, because you can't make a decision before you hear all the facts, right? But sometimes you hear somebody tell you something and they've already into it four or five words and you already got your mind made up where they're going with this, and you've already either accepted it or rejected it, and you don't even know what they're talking about, right? But here it says, he who sins, he sins who hastens with his feet. Be careful of being quick on the trigger and jumping to conclusions without hearing what you're talking about. He sins who hastens with his feet. Verse 3, the foolishness, here's a fool again, the foolishness of a man twists his ways. I think we've always had Satan twisting scripture. since day one, and that continues, doesn't it? And just think, for example, on the left right now in this country, how we've twisted the idea of religion from twisting some statement of church and state separation 180 degrees. The purpose is to keep the state out of the church, but we've taken it, no, the church can't do anything because of separation of church and state. Absolutely 180 degrees wrong. It's totally twisted. So here we see that again, the foolishness or the godlessness of a man twists his way and his heart frets or rages against the Lord. And again, that would talk about the left. They're raging against the Lord, aren't they? And I'm not just, I don't want to really politicize this that much because we're not talking about that, but any fool is going to rage against the Lord and his heart, it says. Verse 4, wealth makes many friends. I can tell you that the statistics are pretty high. Every single, what do you call it? What are these power balls or whatever they are? You buy these tickets and all that stuff. Super Lotto or whatever it is. All you have to do is win one of those and you get a lot of friends. Until your money runs out. Then you don't have any of them anymore. Wealth makes many friends, but the poor is separated from his friends. So if you're wealth, people flock to you to get something from you. If you're poor, they shun you because I can't get anything from you. I'm going to cultivate the rich people because I can get something from them. I can't get anything from you poor people. But this proverb says exactly that. The poor is separated from his friend. Verse 5, a false witness will not go unpunished. Sin will find you out, right? All the way back in Numbers it tells us that. A false witness will not go unpunished, and he who speaks lies will not escape. Oh my, they may have for a while, but the lies always come around, don't they? They get exposed. And how we are uncovering a lot of that stuff right now in this new administration. Okay, verse 6, many entreat or request, want the favor of the ruling rulers or the nobility, and every man is a friend to one who gives gifts. And so you want to be on the favorite side of the government or of the king because of what gifts you could give. And then if you give a lot of gifts, everybody loves you. They all want to be your friend, right? If I could just get on their annual gift-giving list, man, that would be great, right? So I don't think that fits any of you here, but this is what the proverb says, so we'll go with that. Verse 7, all the brothers of the poor, another poor verse, all the brothers of the poor hate him. How much more do his friends go far from him? He may pursue them with words, yet they abandon him. That's a very true statement, but it's sure is sad, isn't it? That our friendship and our relationship depends so much on the financial position of who they are. But that's the way of the world, of course, not the way it should be with us. Why does God have five of these verses on the poor? Because he cares for the poor. Verse 8, he who gets wisdom loves his own soul. He who keeps understanding will find good. That's a positive one, isn't it? He who gets wisdom loves his own soul. He who keeps understanding will find good. Verse 9, a false witness will not go unpunished. It's almost like the one we had just a few minutes ago. A false witness will not go unpunished, and he who speaks lies shall perish. So that's almost identical to what was it, verse 5 or 6, what we just had. Verse 10, luxury is not fitting for a fool, much less for a servant to rule over princes. So it's not natural. A fool cannot be committed to and live a life of luxury unless there's some corruption or something going on there, right? Much less for a servant to rule over princes. So it's for a fool to live a life of luxury is as weird as a servant to rule over the king or over the princes. Verse 11, the integrity or discretion of a man makes him slow to anger. Oh, I like this one. Doesn't fit me too well, but I like it. The discretion of a man makes him slow to anger, and his glory is to overlook a transgression. Now, it doesn't say transgressions. You need to be discerning. We're here to, we'll be talking about this week in the Luke study a little bit about how that scripture, don't judge anyone, is so taken totally wrong in these days and for years. Don't judge me, don't judge me. You got to judge the evil, you got to judge the sin. That's what we're told to do. Now, you don't judge the court decision on the crime. That's not your point, that's God's point. But we're to discern whether you are doing right or wrong, because we need to hate what's wrong, don't we? Don't we need to hate sin? Oh, you can't point out my sin. You can't judge me. Yes, I can. I can point out the fruit in your life. I don't mean to point out to you, but to me. And I don't want any part of that rotten fruit of comes out of sin, right? The discretion of a man makes him slow to anger, and his glory is to overlook a transgression. Or in other words, love covers a multitude of sins, doesn't it? Verse 12, the king's wrath is like the roaring of a lion, but his favor is like dew on the grass. I read that, all I can think of is Jesus Christ. He will soon come back like a lion, won't he? But his favor is like dew on the grass. You know, when do you get the dew? Every morning. When do you get his glory? New every morning, right? Or his favor. His favor, his loving kindness, his faithfulness is new every morning. It's like dew on the grass. I love that, number 12. Verse 13, a foolish son is the ruin of his father. And now again, there's another ruin coming up. The contentions of a wife are a continual dripping. So, you know, that's still the Chinese torture, isn't it? Just put a person under a dripping water and it'll drive you crazy. Always thinking, when's that next drop going to hit and hit and hit? Continual dripping. Houses and riches are an inheritance from fathers. I like this one. But a prudent or wise wife is from the Lord. So, husbands, you who have a prudent wife, don't take any credit because, oh, well, look what I found. That's from the Lord. You have no credit in that. But you are blessed if you have a prudent wife because it is from the Lord. Verse 15, laziness casts one into a deep sleep and an idle person will suffer hunger. You know, don't eat. I mean, don't work, don't eat. How we've gone away from that, right? Verse 16, he who keeps the commandment keeps his soul. But he who is careless of his ways will die. I think that has application in this lifetime, but I think it has even a greater application in eternity, right? Yes. Verse 17, he who has pity on the poor, again poor, lends to the Lord. Think of it this way. If you give to the poor, you're lending to the Lord, and the Lord will pay you back. He who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord, and he, the Lord, will pay back what he has given. Don't try to make a loan out of it. Just give it to them, if that is directed by the Lord. Sometimes we fall for some false pretenses, the Gibeonites or whatever, and we want to really give them a lot, and that's not, the Gibeonites in their deception shouldn't have been the ones to receive anything, right? But generally speaking, that's what the proverb says. He will pay back what he has given. Verse 18, chasten your son while there is hope, and do not set your heart on his destruction. So true. When do you want to correct a person? Well, there's still hope. If you don't correct them when they're young, you get a real problem, don't you? And you see a lot of these little kids running around, they're just spoiled rotten, and you just think, oh my, what's going to happen in about 10 years from now? They'll be out They'll be in jail or they'll be somewhere because they have no respect for authority. And unless they get turned around, unless you give them that respect, they're going to learn it. Who are they going to learn it from? Maybe from the military if they're in there, or maybe from the judge at the court, or maybe from wherever, but they're going to learn authority. And the prisons are full of them, right, who didn't learn that. Chasten your son. Now, chastening in the Bible is always like a restoration or a correction. It doesn't mean torture them, beat them to death. No, it's chastening. God chastens us, but he doesn't beat us to death, does he? It can be painful, but it's to change us. Verse 19, a man of great wealth will suffer punishment, for if you rescue him, then you will have to do it again. So be careful and not be an enabler, right? Mm-hmm. Being an enabler doesn't help. I always have a big problem when people ask for prayer, a mother or a father asking for prayer, because I've got a son or a daughter who's going to go to court this week for this crime that they've committed, and I just hope the judge lets him off. Well, I have a hard time praying for that, so I just pray, may the Lord's will be done. But, you know, he probably needs, not if it's his first or second time, he needs something that gets to him or gets to her that this is wrong and you got to change. You can't just keep over and over, because once you get that pattern established, then it never ends, right? In a way, harder to end anyway. Verse 20, listen to counsel and receive instruction that you may be wise. Now, there's some good words there. Listen to counsel, receive instruction that you may be wise in your latter days. Now, I think most of us can identify at least with the latter days part of it. But isn't that true? Think about the counsel and instruction you've received over the years and how much of it came right from this Bible right here. Verse 21, there are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, I like the neverthelesses. There are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel, that will stand. Do you believe that? Are you practicing that? Verse 22, what is desired in a man is kindness. Or you can, another word there translated could be loyalty. What is desired in a man is loyalty or is kindness. And a poor man is better than a liar. Well, we know another poor here. This is an illustration. I don't know. Obviously, a poor man is better than a liar, because most anything is better than a liar. But kindness, that's the quality here that's stressed. Verse 23, the fear of the Lord. We always have fear of the Lord quite often, don't we? Here's another one. The fear of the Lord leads to life, or it leads to a life with purpose. And in my thinking, it leads to everlasting life as well. And one of the big problems in this nation and around the world is there's a lack or an absence of fear of the Lord. What keeps you out of sin? Fear of the Lord. What keeps you close to him? The reverential fear of him. What keeps you on your knees? The fear of the Lord in a good way. The fear of the Lord leads to life, and he who has it will abide in satisfaction. He will not be visited with evil. Just think how the Lord protects you as a child of his. Now, you can go outside that protection and get into sin because of your own account, but he protects us so much. And no, once we are born again, can Satan ever have us? No, can't. You can't even be demon-possessed if you're born again, because nothing can penetrate that relationship with the Lord from the outside. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing, isn't it? Now, here's another one of the lazy ones. A lazy man buries his hand in the bowl, and he's so lazy he won't as much bring it to his mouth again. Now, I don't know how you could be that. That probably is me when I'm full, but most of the time you want what's in the bowl, don't you? But anyway, a lazy man buries his hand in the bowl and he will not so much as bring it to his mouth again. Verse 25, strike a scoffer and the simple will become wary. Rebuke one who has understanding and he will discern knowledge. So the scoffer, if you reprimand the scoffer, even the watchers will learn a lesson, probably. It says they will become wary, become alert. They'll learn a lesson. And then rebuke one who has understanding, and he will discern knowledge. So you rebuke a fool or a scoffer, and it doesn't get you anywhere. But one who really is has understanding wants to be corrected, don't we? I mean, in a right way, out of love, not out of harshness. Strike a scoffer, and the simple will become wary. Rebuke one who has understanding, and he will discern knowledge. 26, he who mistreats his father and chases away his mother is a son who causes shame and brings reproach. Well, that's for sure. But we have a lot of that going on these days, don't we? Particularly where they aren't really raised up in the right way, and certainly not raised up in a godly way. But anyone who mistreats his father and chases away his mother is a miserable son, I put down here, who causes shame and brings reproach. Verse 27, cease listening to instruction, my son, and you will stray from the words of knowledge. For sure, you won't heed them. Cease listening to instruction, my son. I think we're always to learn as long as we're here alive, aren't we? Are we to learn more about Christ's likeness? Aren't we to learn more about what's in his word? Verse 28, a disreputable witness scorns justice. A liar on the witness stand tears the justice down, doesn't it? A disreputable witness scorns justice, and the mouth of the wicked devours iniquity. They love it. They like iniquity. No peace for the wicked, ever. Verse 29, last verse for today, judgments are prepared for scoffers, and beating for the backs of fools. That's kind of a heavy one. Smite the back of fools. Judgments are prepared for the scoffers. The chastening of the fools. So I had some real favorite. That 29 is not necessarily my favorite, maybe because I don't understand it really. But judgments prepared for scoffers. Well, we'll all be judged, that's for sure. And the beatings for the back of the fools. If you live the life of a fool, you're going to have a bad life. I mean, you know, whether that really means beatings in terms of a whip or not, it's still you're going to be beaten up by the world, and particularly eternally, probably. So that finishes Proverbs 19. Father, we thank you for your care for the poor. We thank you for the clarity and talking about fools and how wrong that is to be living a life without you, which anyone who does not know God is a fool, the Bible says. So, Lord, help us now this morning as we have these moments together to pray for the things that you would have us to pray for. And whether that includes this nation, includes the lost, includes the church, includes whatever you put on our hearts from you, may we be led by your Spirit. So lead us now in these moments of prayer in Jesus' name. But help us really have thankful hearts, Lord. And so let's just close with this song, if we might. Give thanks with a grateful heart.
With a grateful heart, give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ His Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us.
Father, we do thank You for meeting us here. You're always so faithful, Lord. As we go separate ways now, may we be in just one accord as led by Your Spirit. May we redeem this day. You've given us this 8th of February, apparently. Another day to make a little difference in wherever You have us, Lord. May we be so close to You, we don't even have to ask You what to do. We just know what to do. And may we do it, Lord. May we do it, Lord. Thank You for each one here. I just thank You for them, and looking forward to spend eternity together with each one here and many others as well who know You. And may that group grow. May it grow just a little bit through whatever You would work through us.
Yeah.
We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.